Yeah, Father, you said in your word that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out your treasure, the rain, on our land in due season. And Father, we need rain. And we ask you for your mercy and your grace in this time of need to receive an abundance of rain this year, so we can have green pastures. Our cows can run around in tall green pastures, and our goats can walk around in tall green weeds, and we can have a safe and prosperous summer. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you cause us to lie down in green pastures. Father, we thank you that you lead us beside the still waters. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you a praise report from the past. For years, Psalms 23 had come out of my mouth continuously. And so Connie and I moved to Wyoming. And our first little house was kind of a bunkhouse. Yeah, it was a bunkhouse. But anyway, I remember one day I could hear water running. And I stepped outside, and there was a big tree right by our bunkhouse and a little stream that come right by the house. And it was just green everywhere. And I was the thing that hit me right there was, he causes us to lie down in green pastures and he leads us beside the still waters. You really can't have what you say, and you can create your own reality with the words of your mouth. But you're going to have to get, and you're going to create your reality with the words of your mouth. The Bible tells us that with the words of a man's mouth, well, the fruit of his lips, will a man's belly be satisfied. So if you got a stomach ache over what you've been getting, change the words of your mouth. Get in line with the Word of God and start saying what He says. You know, stop calling this place a desert. I don't care what anybody else calls it. I don't care. Start calling this place a green, prosperous land full of abundance. You know, this area is way underperforming. The reason I say that is I read about an evangelist that went into somewhere in Central America and they had a revival. And when he got there, there was jails everywhere and bars everywhere. And the countryside was just filled with cactus and briars, and, you know, just thorns, just bushes, and just, it was just a horrible landscape. They went in there and had a revival in that land. They started closing down the jails because the bars were closed. They were opening up churches. They're having churches all over the place. Every road that went into that town had a sign up that said, Jesus is Lord of this town. And then that landscape changed too. Instead of cactus and thorns and brush, it started producing vegetables. They started having produce trucks, just one right after another coming out of there. They said they were growing cabbages that you couldn't even put in a 5-gallon bucket. Why? They changed what they were doing, but they changed the words of their lips. There's a lot of people that get mad at me because they want to fight for their right to curse this land. they will stand up for that. Wouldn't it be much better to just call this a blessed place, a green and prosperous place, a place that's filled with abundance of rain and grass? See, if we get into agreement on this, that's the way it can be. Yeah. It can be that way again, and even better. But it's going to start with our lips. Amen? Do we have any more prayer requests?
I think we should start praying for National Day of Prayer.
It's really important. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over National Day of Prayer, and we know that this nation is in peril. And we ask you for your grace. And Father, we are aware of your revival that is going around this land. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to let your revival fire fall on these mountains. Father, let us be a part of this. Show us what we need to do. Show us how we need to support this. Show us how we can better get involved in the prayer effort for this country and this world. Father, we ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion, and then we will. I tell you this all the time, and I'm going to tell you it again. It would be a good idea for you to go on to josephprinceministries.org, pull up his website, and order his book, The Holy Communion. They have two versions. They have the mini version, which costs about $3 or $4. And then they have a thicker version, which is even better. It'll cost you a little bit more, but you spend $20 on a hamburger, that's only going to feed you for half a day. Or you can spend $10 on a book loaded with the Word of God, the bread of life that will feed you for a lifetime. Your choice, but it seems to me the value is in that book. But one thing it'll do is help you to get a better revelation of the communion that God gave us. Communion literally means we're getting into a close personal fellowship with Jesus, a deep personal fellowship. We're looking at his body, the bread. And we see his perfect, sinless body beaten and bruised for us. And then we look and we see stripes in that body. And we know that it's by his stripes that we were healed. This body, his body, was pierced for us. Realize that every time Jesus shed his blood, we got redemption in some area. And if you look at this bread, it's slightly burned. When Jesus was on the cross, God actually turned his eyes away from Jesus. And Jesus said, my God, why has you forsaken me? Because the sins of the whole world have been laid on Jesus. And God could not look on sin. Because Jesus was rejected, we're accepted. Praise God. So we're taking of your broken body for our healing and our well-being. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus that has no boundaries, there's nothing, absolutely nothing in this world that could ever conquer the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus absolutely conquered sin. And it washed away all of your sins, and it made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now you can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened. Because of the blood of Jesus, whatever past you had got washed away. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. And we're going to get back on our study of non-essential scruples. And the thing is, with this revival going on, we want it to hit here. We want to be in agreement with this revival. And we want to be a part of this revival. We want to support this revival. We want to be a part of it. Here's the thing about God and the thing about the Bible. You don't have to understand everything to be in agreement with it. You don't have to understand everything to believe it. How many of you have ever walked on water? She did. It was hard water. Very hard water. It's 20 below water, but she did walk on water once, and then she seen what happened. One time we were driving down the road, and there was some, you could see there was a hole in the ice, and there was a deer standing there looking down that hole. There were two sets of tracks going through there. So one of them went in. So she stopped walking on water. Stopped walking on ice. But how many of you have actually walked on water? What we can see in the Bible where Jesus and Peter walked on water, so we know it's possible. We don't know how it happened. We don't understand it, but we believe it. How many of you believe in the rapture? Have you ever been raptured before? Have you seen anybody get raptured? Then how do you think it's going to happen? You don't understand it, but you believe it. Yeah. See, we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to know how everything works to get in agreement with it. So this revival that's taking place, it's crossing a lot of different denominational lines. And a lot of different denominations are taking place in it. That's exciting to me. Because that means they're coming together in the unity of the faith. We want to make sure that we don't get left behind. How could we get left behind? By partaking in non-essential scruples. You see something going on and say, well, that's not how we do it. Guess what? You just got yourself behind the ball. That's not the way I'd do it if we were doing it. Well, guess what? You're not God, so be quiet. One time when I was in grade school, the principal, this guy had, he was notorious. He had everybody's attention. There were absolutely everybody stood at attention when this man came on the scene. He was a hard case, but he was a wonderful man. But he got us all lined up in the gym one day. He was going to be our gym teacher for the day, which just terrified us. He got us all lined up on the wall, and he said, you need to understand something about people. There are those who lead. There are those who follow. And there are those who need to get out of the way. You either lead, follow, or get out of the way. The thing about a true leader, he's going to be a good follower. A leader is not going to be compelling you. See, Jesus had to compel his disciples into the boat at first, but then later on they followed him into the boat the next time. The shepherds lead their sheep. Then there's people that follow. If you can't lead, then you need to follow. This is something that's vitally important to the church, this next step. You either lead, follow, or get out of the way. If you're not going to lead or follow, then you're just a stumbling block. You might call yourself a weed. You're just blocking other people's progress from going forward. Don't be that person. And the thing about this revival that's going on, these people that want to get in the way, they're going to get run over. You're not going to stop God. You're just not going to stop God. So don't try. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, Romans chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat, are we the better? Neither if we eat not, are we the worse? But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make thy brother to offend. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. On Peter chapter 5, verse 1 said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yet all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Verse 7 goes on to say, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We need to have a goal to let all people live in peace for the Lord and for each other. How would we live in peace with the brethren in the Lord? By not picking up these non-essential scruples. You know how hard it is to have a conversation with some people? You know, they ask me what denomination you are. I say, I'm not. And I say, what denomination are you? He said, well, I'm a this. And I say, well, great. But they want to find a reason to disagree with me. They say, well, why don't you have a denomination? Because I don't believe in it. They say, well, you're part of the Cowboy Church. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm a believer. See what the little splits have done to the body of Christ. And it's not quite so bad here, but I've been closer to the Bible Belt and the denominational war zone battle lines come flying up fast. You know, you say, somebody will ask you where you go to church and you'll say that and they'll say, we don't believe in that. We're this. Well, praise God. Praise God. Is there something that we can find to agree on? See, that's seeking peace. Can we believe that Jesus is Lord? Well, there's a good start right there. That's pretty much all we need right there, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. Okay. Then I'm going to let you do you, and you let me be me. Okay? And we'll agree there. At least we got something to agree on. And that's what we need to focus on, is finding something that we can believe in together. It's too easy to find something to disagree on. I know people in this community that won't come to this church because of one scripture. One scripture that they don't agree with, that we believe in, and they won't come to church. How petty is that? Did you know you're not ever going to completely agree with anybody? But if you can find something to agree, you can usually find probably 75-80% of the things to agree with. That's pretty good, ain't it? Then why let the other 20-25% cause you to not come together in Christ? Why let these little scruples that really don't matter in the long run tear the body of Christ apart? We don't want to be a part of that. We want to live in peace with our neighbors. Now here's the thing. Live in peace for the Lord and for each other. That doesn't mean that you're going to come into complete agreement with everybody. Just because somebody says they're a child of God, that's not true. You know, there's a false teaching running around that said that we're all children of God. Really? Because the Bible clearly tells us that you don't become a child of God until you get born again. Amen? There are people that need to be born again. Go to back to Romans chapter 14. verse 3 says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yeah, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Now jump forward to verse 10. But why do ye judge thy brother? Or why do ye set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do not set each other at naught. How do we set each other at naught? Well, you sprinkle. You should be dunking. You're supposed to, when you baptize people, you're supposed to dunk them. And major denominational fights are fought over this. You know, I talked to a preacher one time that would not walk across the street, talk to another preacher, because they didn't baptize people the right way. What's that? That's the spirit of division in full force. That's craziness. You can't have a good fellowship with your neighbor because you don't agree 100% doctrinally with him. Find out something that you can agree on and start from there. If you run across something that you don't agree on, then just forget it. Find another thing you can agree on. You know, I had a guy work for me one time. He was a charismatic Catholic. That makes a lot of people crazy when I say that. Because that means he had to be born again. Yeah, he had to be born again to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was a tongue talker. And that was great. And then he used to tell me some things about his deal. He said sometimes he'd be praying the rosary and then all of a sudden he'd just break into tongues. And I thought, okay. I don't do the rosary, but I do the tongue-talking thing, so we can agree on that. And one time he said, well, what do you really believe in? I said, well, say we're saved by grace. He said, we are saved when we get born again. We are being saved daily on this earth because we're being delivered, we're being healed, we're being prospered, we're being taken care of. That's being saved. Then we will be saved when we get to heaven. And he looked at me and he said, do you know how Catholic that sounds? I said, do you know how Christian that sounds? And he said, well, I agree with you on that. So, but what about sanctifying grace? I said, well, let's just agree we're saved by grace. He said, okay. How hard is that? You know, major wars have been fought over people's faith. We don't need to be a part of that. We can agree that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Another fun one was the Church of Christ pastor that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was casting out devils in church. My friend, he was a hardcore Church of Christ, and he come in one day and he said, my God, I wish they'd just have a traditional service. But he didn't stop going to church. I said, just hang in there, bud. It'll be all right. Hang in there. It'll all work out. What's going on? The Holy Spirit was bringing the church forward, bringing them together in the unity of the faith. Now, all of a sudden, Here's a guy that believed just like the charismatic church. And he was in the Church of Christ. There's a lot of Baptists that are tongue talkers. My pastor is one of them. See, don't let these little things that you don't agree on keep you separated. Find the things that you can agree on and go forward. It'd be a lot funner for the body of Christ. But don't set each other at naught. Don't try to find something to not agree with. Try to find something to agree on. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Recognize that each man shall give account of himself to God. Now there's a lot of people that are absolutely terrified about this. And you should not be terrified about this. Because this is not the great white throne judgment. It's not. This is coming before Christ. This is where we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What did you do with my gospel?" There is a crown, evidently, that we receive at the end of our race. My pastor said, if it doesn't sound like anything like, "Well done, good and faithful servant," say, "I plead the blood of Jesus." You're covered. All right? You're covered. What we do is we learn of Jesus, and we keep learning, and we keep learning, and we keep learning, and he keeps bringing us forward, and bringing us forward, and bringing us forward, till we all come together in the unity of the faith. Just in case you didn't know, there's no certain denomination, there's no certain church that has it all together. There's none of us that know it all. And we're going to have a lot of learning to do. So why don't we just get out of each other's way and get into agreement on something so that we can have a better time here? Don't you think that would be a lot funner? To get with the church down the street and the church over here and the church back there and say, "Hey, Jesus is Lord. We're going to agree on that." Amen? We don't want to cause anyone to stumble. If our Christian liberty lets us do some things that maybe might be a challenge to somebody else, we don't want to do that. You know, one thing, I can go pretty much anywhere. I'm pretty much comfortable in Christ. I know that he's going to take care of me. I know he's going to be all right. But if I got somebody that's with me that may be having a challenge with alcohol, I'm not going to take him to a place where alcohol is going to be present. You know, if I have somebody that maybe has a challenge with their diet, I'm not going to put wrong foods in front of them. See what I'm saying? We're not going to put people into precarious positions. We don't want to be that person that causes somebody to stumble. We want to be that person that helps people grow and go forward and be strong in the Lord. We need to recognize, this is a biggie to me, because I don't know how many times I've been attacked for this. We need to recognize that there is no animal that is classed as unclean for food in the New Testament. It's all been made clean. All of it. You can't imagine how many Christians that have scowled at me and got mad at me because I ate pork. I ate crawdads. I ate catfish. I ate menudo. I ate goat meat. You know how petty that is? Some people get really, really mad at people for eating certain things. All my life, I was told that carp was a trash fish, and every carp we caught, we threw it on the bank. That's just the way I was raised. And then, when I got old enough to realize what was going on, I found out that carp was a major staple to 80% of the world. But we decided it was unfit to eat. You know, I grew up thinking that anybody that ate a goat had to be desperate. And then I found out goat meat is a major staple to most of the world. Not everything that you have been told in life is the truth. And just because you do things a certain way doesn't mean that everybody else has to do it that way. But just because they don't do things the way you do it doesn't make them wrong. It just means they're different. You know, in Northeast Wyoming, we'd start feeding cows in December, and then we'd feed them all the way through until spring when the green grass started growing in it. That's the way it was. But that doesn't mean that that's the way everybody has to do it. You know, down here, they hardly ever feed a cow. They eat grass all the time. Which one's right? Both of them. They just found a way to live life on life's own terms and be successful at it. So these guys worship on Sunday. We used to worship on Saturday night. Who's right? Both of them. There's no hard line rule that says you have to worship God on Sunday morning and then you better be there for Bible study on Sunday night and then Wednesday night. That's just Bible Belt rules. We had Bible study on Tuesday night and then church service on Saturday night. Who's right and who's wrong? Nobody. They're both right. You know, you can worship God. We used to have our worship service on Monday night in Midland. Monday night. Which was a little bit of a challenge because then the Dallas Cowboy fans, when Dallas was playing football on Monday night and they backslide. But it's okay. It's okay. Different people worship. That's one of the things, great things about God. And one of the great things about America. We have the freedom to worship God the way we choose to. And you're not wrong if you decide you want to worship on Saturday night or Sunday morning or Monday night or Wednesday night or however you choose. Any day of the week. It doesn't make you a bad person. So don't look at anybody else as being bad because they don't do it the way you do it. This revival could be a fun thing. It could be a fun thing for a lot of people. Just realize that you're going to have to come into agreement, maybe on some things that you don't understand. But don't set yourself in disagreement just because you don't understand it. See? There's a lot of things we don't understand. That doesn't mean that we got to come into disagreement with it. Try to find something that you do agree on and go forward from there. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the spirit of agreement. We can come together in things that we do agree on. We can come together in the things of Christ. We're not going to fall for the spirit of division anymore. We're not going to fall for the things that tear the church apart. We're not going to fall for the things that keep us divided. We're going to agree on some wonderful things in Christ. We're going to agree to be Spirit-led. We're going to agree to go forward in Jesus. We're going to agree that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Master Painter of this whole thing, and that He is the one that orchestrates the way things go, not us. Father, we praise You in the name of Jesus. Amen.